Well, I do want to welcome you all again to this time of celebration tonight, this beautiful time of being together, and for many of us with being with families. We love this night. I mean, it's a night that we should welcome and love with all of our heart. It's the place that we arrive after a long journey. For those of you who are usually here, you know that we've been walking through a journey over the last month or so, of each week taking a little closer step to the arrival of Jesus, knowing that we've not been ready to receive him, knowing that there are things we've had to address and deal with. So now it's the place finally we arrive after this journey in the wilderness, a warm fire, food and drink, and the knowledge that we're no longer strangers and we're not alone. It's not the end of our journey. In many ways, it's the beginning, or at least a new place, but we're not traveling alone. The Lord is with us. The darkness that had haunted our steps, the light shines now, and that darkness is lifted, just as Isaiah said it would be. The chains that bound our ankles have vanished, and now we can run in the light if we choose to do so. We're here to celebrate that God has come to be among us, Emmanuel, worshiping the one who is God's great gift to us and to the world, the one who's come to bring us home to himself. And tonight we hear again the story, the heart of that promise that was made and kept. The story is the one we remember. We rehearse it. We take it to ourselves and we celebrate it. What we're going to do tonight, instead of a deep theological sermon on the incarnation, although it could end up being deep depending on how the Holy Spirit speaks to us, we're going to put the nativity scene together. Something we've done not every year, but enough that it may even be a tradition or becoming a tradition in some ways. St. Francis is credited with making the first nativity scene in about 1223, and his was a living one. A living nativity scene. And he did that in order to tell the story of the coming of Christ clearly so people could understand. So it could be known by people who couldn't read. We read, we can read, but we also forget, or we fail to hear it right or read it right. So tonight, in a very simple way, we're visiting the manger again as we give thanks for God's presence. Luke tells us that Jesus was born in a particular place, in a particular time, in a particular way. It's specific and it's ordered. We're to know that it's not a fable, but it's the incarnation. It's God coming in the flesh in truth, coming with the smell of dirt and sweat and who knows what else in the air. It's not a scene carved in marble, but one played out in the uncertainty of people that are living under occupied rule. This is what it was for them. We sometimes think today, I know that I certainly did at the birth of my children, and then at lunch today when we had our two little grandsons with us, the first Christmas that they had, what kind of world that we're bringing children into now? What kind of world is this? I think it's always been that way. People have always wondered that. And that's some of the feeling that we get when we hear the Luke's account read again, is the uncertainty of the time. Jesus' coming has always involved great and costly risk, that God would put so much in human hands, that he gives so much to us still. Yet behind it, there is God's faithfulness and care and love. So we're going to put this scene together now, and it'll be with us throughout the Christmas season. And I gave characters from our scene to different people in the congregation, and I'm just going to have you bring it up as we get to different people in here. Who has Joseph? Who did I give to Joseph? Gilbert, please come. Now, Gilbert's got an edge because we talked about Joseph the other day. And was there anything about our conversation about Joseph that struck you, just in terms of his role in all of this?
He's behind the scenes. He's is not very often talked about.
No, he isn't very often talked about, but kind of important, isn't he, in a way? So what we're going to do is take Joseph. I'm just going to let you put him about right here. Thank you very much. Joseph was a good man, just and merciful. When he thought Mary had been unfaithful to him, he refused to bring charges against her. He sought to fulfill the law, but he sought to do it in mercy and in love. After Jesus is born, Joseph protects the family by taking them to Egypt. He teaches Jesus his trade. He takes the boy every year to Jerusalem for the Passover. And when Jesus teaches about the Heavenly Father, we hear the echoes, I think, that he was raised in a home where Joseph modeled what it was to be a good father. So we honor Joseph and his important role in this, that God called him to this task. Who has Mary? Rhodes, do you have Mary? Oh, great. And do you know who Mary was?
It was Jesus'
Jesus' mother. That's right, Jesus' mother. And where did they go when Jesus was born? Was he born in a house?
No, he's born in a stable.
In a stable, that's right. So what we're going to do is we're kind of have our own stable here. We're going to put Mary right here. Thank you. Do you think it would have been a little scary to be Jesus' mother? Mary said yes to God in spite of what it could have cost her and did cost her. She didn't understand everything about what she was asked to do, but she said yes. She embraced God's plan for her life. Mary treasured all that happened around Jesus' birth. She fed on the truth of God's promise for her own faith. Who has the animals? Ella, do you have the animals? Can you bring the animals up? Great. Thank you. Do you know what these are? What animals these are? Oh, okay. Bye-bye. There's a lamb. And since this is a Rwandan nativity scene, there's a cow. Yeah. Thank you. You know, we don't know what kind of animals were there. Not really, do we? We know there were shepherds that came. We're going to see them in a minute. But we know there was no room for Mary and Joseph in the usual place, the place that people would stay, and that Jesus was placed in a manger after he was born. That is the feeding trough for animals. So it's very likely they were in a place with animals nearby, and you can imagine what that would be like. It may not have been a silent night at all, but kind of a crazy, cacophonous, you know, night. And I think I'm reminded that in this that God's redemption reaches to all of us and all of creation. Sin marred not only our souls, but the world itself. So as God takes on flesh in Jesus Christ, creation itself is entered into by the Maker to be remade. So I think it's great that the animals are there and how important that is. There were shepherds. I think if there were sheep, there were shepherds. We have a couple shepherds? These are our shepherds. All right, guys. Ryan and Dan. Thank you. Now, something about shepherds. Wait, don't go away. Don't go away. Now, Dan, you're a lawyer.
Yes.
Ryan's a teacher. So if you had to if you had to make a big announcement, and you've done this with different kinds of things, who would you tell first?
Who would I tell first?
I mean, you wanted the word to get out. Who would be the most important people you would tell? Would it be shepherds?
Probably not shepherds.
Okay, thanks. Have you ever known a shepherd, either one of you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, my grandfather.
Say a little bit about that. Would you mind? Come to the mic and just say a little bit about that.
My grandfather was Syrian. He was born in Damascus, and he was a shepherd before he came to the United States in 1906, I believe.
All right. Well, we have the son of a son of a son of a shepherd, or no, son, grandfather. Well, thanks. You know, people in Jesus' day knew shepherds, too, just like Dan had a family member, his grandfather, and their work was important, but they weren't the first people you put on your guest list. Shepherds in that time were, they lived at the edge of town. They were seen to be as unreliable, maybe even criminal. They were unsavory. But the angels tell these shepherds about the baby that is born in the town next to them, and they send them to find Jesus. Afterwards, they tell everybody. They spread the word. They are some of the first preachers of the gospel. They're a model for future shepherds of God's people. You know, in the Old Testament, the most widely used image of God is as a shepherd, as the shepherd of his people. Ezekiel says the Messiah will be like a shepherd in place of all the shepherds of Israel that were not faithful. So we remember the shepherds. And it's good that they're there. So we're going to put them here by the animals. We have kind of an important character who's not here yet. Who is it? Who's missing from here? Baby Jesus. Okay, can we have, who has the baby Jesus? Oh, here comes Liesl has it. Thank you very much. She's smiling right now, anyway. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Into the scene now we place Jesus. The king who comes in a very unroyal way, bowing to enter humanity, surrounded by what's gritty and rough but true, not born in his own home, but in a place hastily found, a shelter from uncertainties of life. He took his first breaths, not in an airy palace, but in a place aside, perfumed by shepherds and animals and the scent of wood shavings. The Savior of the world in humble clothing. St. Bede said that Christ was born by the wayside because through the mystery of the incarnation, he has become the way by which he guides us to our home, where we shall enjoy the truth and the life. So we're back to the picture of journeying. I'd like to finish with a poem, that one of the poems I love for this time of the year from G.K. Chesterton. Step softly under snow or rain to find the place where men can pray. The way is also very plain that we may lose the way. The world grows terrible and white. And blinding white the breaking day. We walk bewildered in the light, for something is too large for sight and something much too plain to say. The child that was ere worlds begun, we need but walk a little way. We need but see a latch undone. The child that played with moon and sun is playing with a little hay. Go humbly, humble are the skies, and low and large and fierce the star. So very near the manger lies that we may travel far. Hark, laughter like a lion wakes to roar to the resounding plain, and the whole heaven shouts and shakes, for God himself is born again. And we are little children walking through the snow and rain. Amen.